So this is Mark's gospel. We're in the eighth chapter. Mark's gospel is the shortest one, probably the earliest one written. It's only 16 chapters long. So we're halfway through it. And already Jesus is talking about the cross, the suffering, the rejection, the death. So for context here, Peter has been the first one to recognize Jesus as Messiah. And at this moment, Jesus is beginning to talk about what is coming up. He says, in a short time, the Son of Man is going to undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, and be killed, and then rise again after 3 days. So we got, we have this prediction, this statement. And Peter, having already recognized that Jesus is the Messiah, takes him aside and begins to rebuke him according to the scripture. Now, Mark doesn't say exactly what he says, but he rebukes him, and then Jesus responds. And this that we have just heard is his response to what Peter says. So let's back up and think about Peter's perspective. We tend to have a good time at the expense of Peter. You know, he's bold. He's often thinks before he speaks, or speaks before he thinks. And we can recognize ourselves. Some of us recognize more of ourselves in Peter than others, but we recognize the very, very human perspective of Peter. So going back to the beginning, Peter was fishing. That was his lifetime occupation. He fished for a living. And Jesus showed up and said to Peter and his brother Andrew and their friends John and James, "Follow me." He didn't give any explanation. He didn't say, "Follow me to the cross." He didn't say, "Follow me to miracles." He just said, "Follow me." And they did. They recognized his authority and they recognized a spark of divinity in him, I'm sure. And they followed him. And so here was Peter, and he experienced miracles. He experienced healings, some of them very close to home. He experienced authoritative teaching from Jesus. All this was wonderful and good, and he recognized Jesus as Messiah. And now all of a sudden, Jesus says, "I'm going to suffer and be rejected and die." And Peter says, "Oh, wait a minute. Wait just a minute." And so we don't know exactly what he says, but if we put ourselves in that position, we can imagine what he might have said. He might have said, "No, that's not going to happen. I can't believe that. Things are going so well. We're going to win this thing." Or maybe, "Jesus, you shouldn't talk like that. You're scaring everyone. Look at those other disciples. You're scaring them. Don't talk like that." It's very natural. That's the way we respond when we hear something that we absolutely don't want to believe. Think about some time when you've heard something awful and your first response is, "No, that can't be." And Jesus says to Peter, "You are looking at things from a human perspective, not from a divine perspective." Well, of course he is. He's human. And then Jesus went on to say, when 3 days later, "I'll rise again." I'm not even sure Peter heard that part of it. But if he did, his response to that might have been, "Well, that's obviously not going to happen, because things like that just don't happen." So that's maybe a little harsh on Peter's part. And the response of Jesus also seems to be pretty harsh. He says, "Get behind me, Satan." Whoa. Get behind me, Satan. Let's deal with the last part of that first. He's calling He's calling Peter Satan. What does he mean by that? Now, when we see Satan with a capital S in the New Testament, we know that that means the devil. When we see Satan with a small s back in the Old Testament, particularly in the story of Job, it doesn't mean the devil. Satan is the adversary. He is a heavenly being who is in communication with God. In Job, Satan is the one who says, let me just test Job a little bit, see what his faith is truly like. He's the adversary. He is, we could even say, the devil's advocate. Maybe Jesus means Satan in that sense. I mean, we don't know from his spoken word whether that Satan had a capital S or a small s. But clearly, Peter is setting himself in an adversarial relationship with Jesus and what Jesus says. Another thing Jesus says is, "Get behind me." And I tend to read that as, "Get away from me." That's not actually what he says. He doesn't say, "Go away." He says, "Get behind me." Maybe he means, "Don't try to get in front of me. Don't try to lead me because I'm the leader. I told you to follow. Get behind me and continue to follow me, Peter." Naturally, Peter doesn't want any of that to happen. Naturally, Peter is looking at things from a human perspective because Peter is human. Peter is also the one, he's not being singled out for rebuking Jesus. One of the ways we know this is that before Jesus responds to Peter, he says, turning and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." And then he called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." He is telling all of the disciples and all of the crowd that are around him, you have to look at things in a different perspective. You're looking at things from an earthly perspective, all of you. And that's because you're human. And Peter has already shown us that things can have a different perspective because Peter has already said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You have the words of life." Peter has already seen that glimpse of divinity and expressed it. And Jesus wants to bring that back and wants to bring it out for everybody. He says to Peter, "You know, you had it right. And now you've slipped back to the human perspective. But come back to the divine perspective. Come back and see that this earthly life is one thing that you're used to, you're accustomed to. You're not ready for a change from that. But it's going to end one way or the other. It's going to end. What you need to be seeking is the divine life, eternal life, the life to come. That's what you need to be looking for." There's a choice to be made here, and it's not an easy choice. There are so many ways that we feel the need to protect ourselves, to protect our humanity. And when Jesus says, "Lose your life to find it," it's totally counterintuitive. What do you mean, lose my life to find it? But if we are so focused on this earthly life that we ignore the divinity around us, if we ignore the signs of the kingdom of God, we close the door on ourselves to reach that kingdom. You're looking at things from an earthly perspective. Look at them from a divine perspective. That's what Lent is all about. We're so used to looking at things from an earthly perspective, and Lent is uncomfortable because it encourages us to look at ourselves honestly, to look at God truly and fully, and to see how we are clinging to one rather than joining the other. When Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," he doesn't mean, "Go away, you're no good anymore." He means, drop that idea and reach your full potential. I want more from you. I want more from you than to just see the earthly things. I want you to see the divine things. And so when he says, lose your life to find it, take up your cross and follow me, he's offering us a choice between this earthly life and earthly things that will end, and a life in the kingdom with God forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.